May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 232. Be gone, unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Hymn 232.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is the first book of the Kings, chapter 17. The first book of Kings, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Amen. May the Lord bless that portion of his holy word to our souls and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God of heaven and of earth, oh, we do pray, dear Lord, as we gather at this evening hour, that thou would abide with us, as thou didst thy two disciples as they journeyed to Emmaus. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Oh, that we might sweetly experience what they did. For thou didst go in and abide with them. And O Lord, how we need thee to abide in our poor hearts. Oh, do come, Lord, and make thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and sweetly found. O Lord, one of old said, What is the house to me, unless the master there I see? And oh, we would come desiring to see no man, save Jesus only. O Lord, we come just as we are before thee. One said, Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless come to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain flow, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Lord, how we need that washing and cleansing from all sin. Oh, may it please thee to draw near this night to each sin-sick soul and sweetly assure them thou didst shed thy precious blood for them. Thou alone can wash us and make us white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, may we know in our souls that sweet peace of Calvary. One said, This glorious man, thy peace shall be. Oh, we pray to be favoured, Lord, with that sweet peace within that passeth all understanding. May it please thee, dear Lord, to clothe us in that glorious robe of righteousness which thou hast wrought out, that faith puts on the righteousness of God. Lord, who hear the prayer in our opening hymn, Lord, and remove from us all the unbelief that plagues our heart. And oh, that we may be given that living vital faith to believe, even to the saving of our souls. And that faith to trust in thee, Lord, for all things. That faith to cast all our care upon thee, knowing that thou art able to do for us all that we need. And oh, we pray for that faith to look alone to thee, that our eyes might be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We may have that singleness of eye, always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. And ask, Lord, those that have many doubts and many fears, we pray thou wilt come over them all and remove all the doubts and fears of thy children. And grant them, Lord, a fear not from thy sacred lips. And Lord, do grant them to feel and to know that thou art with them. Thy rod and thy staff do comfort them. Remember all that are full of sorrow, Lord, many things to cause us sorrow in this dark and solemn day. But oh, we pray thou wilt come and turn that sorrow into joy, that we may rejoice in thee. And oh, Lord, we would pray earnestly for any that are tempted and tried, and Satan buffets on every hand, thou wilt deliver them from his power and set their souls at liberty and make them free, Lord. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. Oh, that we may each know, Lord, more and more of that sweet liberty, that we might walk, as the hymn writer said, at large. And oh, may it please thee to bless the dear children, the dear babes, the little ones. Remember each of the dear young people too. May they be taught of thee and brought to know thee vitally and savingly in their early days. That they may follow on to know the Lord, that they may ask for the old paths and cleave to the narrow way. Do keep them from the world, Lord, and all its snares and dangers and attractions. And oh, we pray that thou wilt keep them from just a head knowledge religion, and a religion that's only of the carnal mind. But oh, may they be taught by thy Spirit in early days and led by thy blessed Spirit. For thou hast said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, do assure us each, Lord, that we are among thy sons and daughters. Grant us that heavenly discernment and grace to make our calling and our election sure. We pray for the dear parents, thou would hear and answer their prayers. Grant them, Lord, those answers of peace sent down. And oh, do help us to praise thee for safely delivering dear Sarah of her little daughter. Do bless her and her dear husband together. May they be able to say in it all, my Jesus hath done all things well. And oh, we pray that Thou wilt be with others that carry offspring, Lord. We pray that Thou wilt be with them and help them in carrying them, and be with them especially as the hour of deliverance draws near. We pray that Thou wilt hold them up and hold them on, and grant a safe delivery, and the dear babes born with all their faculties and raised up to be children of God, and who hear the prayers put up for them. Lord, do remember those in affliction's pathway. Think of our beloved deacon here and one in his home, Lord, in affliction's path, and his dear one. We pray for each one of them, Lord, that the afflictions may be sanctified, and that there may be much of thy love manifested in it all. For thou hast said, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And Lord, we pray for healing mercies to those thou hast appointed to walk the path of affliction, and thou wilt send that needed healing down. And others, Lord, in their afflictions, that will bring them, and each of us, we know not what will come, Lord, on any of us to bring us down. But, oh, we pray that Thou wilt prepare us for that great day of death and a vast eternity. And, oh, do assure us that it is well, and that Thou art our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and that underneath are those blessed everlasting arms. And, oh, do come to those that are bereaved, Lord, and support and sustain them, uphold them. May they be able to say, as dear Job did, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who bless this corner of thy vineyard, we pray thou would add to the church precious souls yet. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And, O Lord, may there not be any that are dictating to the Lord what they've got to have to come. But may thy love constrain. And thy people, thou hast said, shall be willing in the day of thy power. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt call many by grace in this village and throughout this chapel and throughout Zion, if it would please thee. May it be said here, as in thy word it was said of Zion, it shall be said, that this man and that man was born there. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to so quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with thy dear servants and grant them that gracious anointing to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. May there be that real fruit following the preaching of the word. For thou hast said, by me is thy fruit found. And, O Lord, who appear in the nation, we need thee to work, Lord, in our leaders and rulers. And, Lord, who bring this land to real repentance, if it would please thee, and a seeking of thy face, and a pleading to be delivered, Lord, from the plague that is in the land. But, oh, may many be brought to fear thee through it, if it's thy will. We pray to be kept safe from it all, if it's thy will, that we may be able, Lord, to gather in thy courts and to worship thee without any restrictions or hindrances, if it would please thee. Who come and bless thy dear people. And remember our Queen and the royal household. May they each be taught of thee, and brought to know thee vitally and savingly. We thank thee, dear Lord, for all thy many mercies to us, those mercies that are countless as the sand, that daily we receive. Oh, we would praise and bless thy holy name, that we're not in a deserved hell where hope can never come. Lord, we pray that thou wilt go before us in all the untrodden steps of life's journey, each of us, and prepare us for thy will. And grant us that grace, Lord, to endure to the end, and to hold on our way. And, O Lord, do come and help us as we turn to thy holy word, who shine upon the sacred page and take of the things of Jesus. May the blessed Spirit do so and reveal them unto us. And may thy precious name, dear Lord, be honoured and glorified, both in our worship, in our lives, in our hearts, in our pathways, Lord, that Christ might be first and Christ be last and Christ be all in all. Who remember any that we may forget or leave it, who visit them with thy salvation. Help us in the singing of thy praises, and may we know the reality is what we see. Dear Lord, do grant a true spirit of hearing. And may thy word be life and power to us. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail, so we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 396. Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. Hymn 396.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a wonderful thing it is to be enabled to cast all our care upon the Lord, to leave everything in his blessed hands. And when can we do it? Well, we noticed this morning, when the Lord humbles us in the dust, makes us resign to his sacred mind and will. But when we've got no help in ourselves, we realise the word of God where it says, the cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. And there may be those of you tonight that have got those cares that are too hard for you, but they're not too hard for the Lord, poor soul. And here is a clear word of heavenly instruction which the Lord gives to dear Peter, to his dear people, whether it be in the day when he spake it or to in 2021. But I want particularly this evening to look at the latter part. It's a wonderful seal, really, to what precedes it. Cast in all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. And I know what some of you will say, this is exactly what I want to feel and to know, that he cares for me. The dear hymn writer said, can a woman's tender care cease to ward the child she bears? Yet she may forgetful be, but I will remember thee. And think of it naturally with a dear mother, with her babe. She cares for it because she loves it. It's part of her. She carried it for those 9 months or so, and it's part of her. And in great love to it, she cares for it. It's helpless. Cannot do anything of itself. But a mother's tender care is so wonderful toward the babe. She can do everything for it. But think about it far greater so, concerning your heart and mine. Have we not got one above that cares for us, that can do all that we need? When we most need him, he's there at hand. The hymn writer said, concerning this, when most we need his help in hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Now, he cares for his dear people in many ways, and I just want to hint at a few as help this evening. And may the Holy Spirit lead us, because really this is a vast word. Firstly, look at it in a providential way. The Lord cares for his dear people. He doesn't leave them to starve naturally. We think of, and that is why we read together the sacred chapter in the first book of Kings, chapter 17, of dear Elijah. Look how the Lord so cared for him. And why did he care for him so? Because he loved Elijah. He was one of God's dear choice children, if I may put it like that. And you think of the places he had to come into, but think of it in this chapter. There'd been no rain. The land was parched. How would he be fed? The Lord would supply the water for him to drink there at the brook Cherith. But what about his food? The Lord did that which naturally man would say was an impossibility. There's no man in the earth can get ravens to feed a person. What would they do with flesh and bread? They'd soon devour it, wouldn't they? But what did the Lord send? He sent these ravens to feed him. And they brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Because the Lord cared for him. When you read back of some of the experiences of some of the old saints where much poverty prevailed, you'll see how wonderfully the Lord provided for them. What do we sing in the hymn? My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. And you think of dear Elijah, it must have been so humbling, you know, to see those ravens come and feed him night and morning. But then you'll say, well, what about when the brook dried up? There the Lord didn't leave him to starve, did he? He told him exactly what to do. It's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord, in caring for his dear people, will tell the sinner sometimes exactly what to do. It may be on another occasion they have to venture by faith. But here he told Elijah what to do. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. It was a clear command, wasn't it? Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain them. A most unlikely person, you see, really, a widow woman. And the Lord used her. She was to be all in his hand, you see. He can use whom he pleases to supply the need of his dear people. And you look how the Lord provided for them, and they proved, and Elijah proved, and the dear widow woman that proved the wonderful promise which we read of in the lesson this evening. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. The one here tonight, you're concerned about the future, the unknown way. There's no doubt there was much exercise in the heart of Elijah in this matter, as there was in the dear woman. But here the Lord spoke that beautiful, fear not. Calm in them. Calm in the heart of this dear woman. Do you need a fear not tonight, poor soul? To calm your troubled breast. Think of what the hymn writer said. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship, spreads the sails to catch the breezes sent to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. And then this beautiful promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bow of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And you look how the Lord made that dear woman willing to do, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The bow of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The Lord cared for them, you see. And some of us can look back, and I think in our early days, many times where the Lord so manifested his care in providing all that we had need of. That didn't mean that the bow of meal with Elijah or with the dear woman would always be full. Sometimes there's no doubt they had to scrape the bottom. But he never failed. That's the vital point. And the Lord will never fail them that trust in him, whether it be in providence or in grace. But let us just continue with that theme, and then I want to go deeper. You think of the 5,000 when Jesus was upon this earth. How would they feed such a great company? There they were, hungry. It was evening time. Nothing to eat. Peter said, didn't he, how shall we go and buy so great a number of food for such a number? There's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Now the disciples, they looked at it all and they said it cannot be done, in effect. They knew it was an impossibility. With them it was, but not with the Saviour. Whenever I read that word, I just tell you this. The lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And I went to preach in London in my early days as a dear old godly deacon at Onsard Road in those days. And he was very John Blunt in what he said. But he said, you know, he said, we had a young minister engaged to preach. And he said, I was so troubled about him coming. There was only a lad. How will he bear to preach? And he said, you know, the Lord silenced me in a moment. And he said to me, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. You see, in the Saviour's hand, And the dear man, he said, you know, I could see in the Saviour's hand he could use just a small lad to be the means of providing for all that those needed, and so they could in the house of God on that occasion. The Lord, you know, he wonderfully silenced the dear man with that word, and he said, we went to the house of God and there was bread for us to eat. Manna from heaven came down through a lad. Now think of the case that we name. You know, the Lord had wonderfully manifested his power, didn't he? And they were all fed, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 basketfuls. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And why did he feed them? The Saviour. Because he cared for them. Oh, he did. He cares for his people. Our text is very clear, isn't it? For he careth for you. And there may be one poor soul here in your providential pathway, or maybe in your soul, and you look at things, how will he provide for us? How will he care for us? Well, may this word be sweetly applied to you tonight, poor soul. For he, a precious Jesus, careth for you. It's personal, you see. Oh, it is. And it was with those 5,000. They all partook and were filled. But then, there are places where the Lord's people come into where they want to feel him caring for them. My mind goes to the dear disciples. I think it's in the Gospel of John where they were in the ship and they were tossed around in the sea. And the same applies in Mark's Gospel and the other Gospels, where they were tossed around, those dear disciples, by the storm, by the wind. And what did they say as they awoke the Saviour? He was asleep, the waves didn't trouble him, nor did the raging of the sea. But what did they say to him? He seemed to confirm this text to me. They said to him, carest thou not that we perish? Because of all what they were in, they feared they were going to drown. They feared the ship would be taken from them. Carest thou not that we perish? And it may be in extremities that you come into, whether it's in affliction or in deep trials in your providential pathway or in your soul. And you wonder whether the Lord's going to destroy you in it all. You're going to perish. This is how you feel. And they did. Carest thou not that we perish? Well, he did care for them, didn't he? And what did he do? He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the sea. And there was a great calm. Why did he do it? Because he cared for them. They were his dear disciples. They were his dear children. And it may be there were some walking in difficult things tonight and you say, well, I wonder whether the Lord is caring for me. Well, poor soul, you think of them and how they must have felt. What does the text say? For he careth for you. Beautiful words, aren't they? He careth for you. And oh, may the Lord come right where you are, and like he did those dear disciples, he was with them in it, you see. So he could well care for them. And if he's with you in it, poor soul, whatever it may be, he will manifest that care. Oh, he will. It may not be in a way that you may think, or I may think. like the arms of the dear mother under that babe, so the Lord puts his arms under his dear people. Think of that beautiful promise. I think it's one of the most sacred promises in the Word of God. And may the Holy Spirit whisper it to some poor dejected sinner tonight. And it's this: the eternal God, he that's from everlasting to everlasting, the eternal God is thy refuge. Why is he thy refuge? Because he cares for you, poor soul. And underneath, and that means it won't matter how low the sinner may sink, weighed down by sin, weighed down by distress, weighed down by Satan, however low they may sink, still underneath of those everlasting arms. Underneath. Holding you up, you see. You may have heard me say before, but Mr. Frank Gosling, when he was in deep trouble and in his early days, on one occasion he said to his dear wife when he went to work one morning, "If I have one more trouble," he said, "I feel it has sinked me into utter despair." Well, he went to work, and when he came back home, his wife said, "You know what you said to me this morning about feeling the troubles that you've got and they'll sink you into despair?" She said, "Well, you've got another trouble." And he said, as soon as she said it, I felt myself sinking. But he said, instead of sinking into utter despair, he said, I sank into the arms of the Saviour. Underneath, you see, are the everlasting arms. Blessed place to be found in his arms. So different than ours, aren't they? Ours become weak and faint, especially older we get, or in doing hard things, you say, "Well, my arms ache." You often hear a dear mother with nursing a babe say her arms ache. She's nursed it for a long time. But the Lord's arms don't ache, you know. They don't become weary. They don't become faint. They're everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. They're not weary through time and age. They still have the same power today as they did when the Lord spoke that word through Moses to the children of Israel. For he careth for you. Then think of the children of Israel. Firstly, and I just name it in passing, how he cared for them in sending them that manna from heaven each day. And on the sixth day, for the day of the Sabbath, there was double, you see, for the Sabbath day. There he provided for them on those occasions through the wilderness. Each day there was their daily bread. And think about it spiritually. The Lord has wonderfully promised to feed his hungry poor in their souls. They feed upon his word. They feed upon his sufferings. They feed upon his death. They feed upon a precious Jesus. What do we read? He said, "I am the bread of heaven." That living bread. And the poor sinner can feed upon it. And he feeds them each day to supply their need because he cares for them. Now, I say that in just passing, but What I was going to say was this. You think of those children of Israel in Egypt. When the Lord sent that destroying angel forth. You look how wonderfully cared for them. And it's a wonderful subject, really. What did he do? He instructed them to put the blood upon the lintel and doorposts of those houses where they dwelt. And why did he tell them that? Because there was their safety. And what did he say to them? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. They couldn't always see it because they were shut in their houses, but they knew it was there, that blood. And oh, poor soul, where are you sheltering and where am I tonight in our souls? Are we sheltering under the blood? And I speak it with much reverence. The precious blood of Jesus, that blood that cleanseth from all sin, that blood that can take away every stain that sin has made. And you see there, as the destroying angel went forth, he passed over all those houses. They were all safe. And why? Because he cared, the Lord cared for them. They were his dear children. He loved them with an everlasting love. Oh, if the Lord cares for you, poor soul, you'll know a little what it is to taste of his love from time to time. And when you have a taste of it, it'll melt your poor heart, it will. It's a wonderful seal, isn't it? The taste of his love. What do the hymn writers say? The mark of that celestial seal shall never be erased. The devil may tempt you sore, poor soul, but if you're sheltering under that precious blood, there's your safety. We sing in the hymn, don't we? It's a sacred word, really. All my safety is in thee. There's no safety out of Christ. What does the hymn writer say? Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. He so cares for his dear people that he shed his precious blood for them. Oh, you go to Calvary, see the care the Lord Jesus manifested there. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Oh, the care he manifested in going to Calvary. Laying down his precious life for sinners. Black, vile sinners. Laying down that precious life that they might have life in their souls. What did the apostle say? It's a wonderful word, really. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh. Didn't say what he did live in the flesh. But I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And oh, you think of that precious blood that he shed at Calvary. He shed it because he cares for you, poor son. That all those sins that may seem like mountains to you may all be removed. And he can do it in a moment. I, even I, he said, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. Why? Because he cares for you, removing them all, that you might have peace in your soul. You might be clothed, you see, in the glorious righteousness of Christ. That you might have heaven when he takes you from this earth to be with him without a veil between. If such the sweetness, the hymn writer said, of the streams, and oh, they are, what must the fountain be? Where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee, for he careth for you. And then as he laid down that precious life, he laid it down that sinners might live, but to take it again on that glorious resurrection morn. And he rose because he cares for you. Well could the apostle say in writing to the Philippians that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, that power, we need it continually, don't we, of his resurrection. How soon we become dead and cold and lifeless, prayerless, unexercised, if we know our own hearts. The Lord only has to leave us a moment, and we're poor, carnal characters of the earth, creatures of the earth, and we're lukewarm and cold and lifeless. That's why the apostle said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And do we not need that power of his resurrection to raise us out of such a state, dead, lifeless state, to live? He said, didn't he, to his dear disciples, because I live, ye shall live also. And oh, you think of the joy there was in the hearts of the dear women and the dear disciples when he made himself known to them after the resurrection. As I read at the Lord's Supper this morning, those few verses in Luke's Gospel, they're very precious verses really, what he said to them. And I just remind you of it this evening because there's such reality in them, and how he was pleased to speak to them. He said to them, didn't he, these precious words. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Oh, you bring peace, poor soul. And there was, after that resurrection, glorious morning, such peace. A risen Christ. And may the Lord, to your poor troubled heart this evening, poor soul, convey that peace because he loves you. Peace I leave with you. He said to his dear disciples, my peace I give unto you. He says here, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? He cared for them, you see, because they were so troubled. And you think in your heart and pathway tonight, you may have those things that really trouble you, something before you. and it troubles you. Why are ye troubled? See his care. It's like a loving mother. See a little child troubled. And they will inquire, won't they? Why are you troubled? What is the reason? Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And then he does something very sacred. Behold, something very important was to follow, and not only that, they were to behold his hands and his feet. He reminds them of the cost of their salvation. My hands, those hands nailed to Calvary's tree, those pierced feet, his pierced side, that it is I myself. He was proving to them this is their risen Saviour. Handle me and see. And think of that in this sense, that that's exactly what faith will do. You know, faith has, as I've often said, its faculties. Like each of us are blessed with our various faculties in our bodies, so is faith. And one of the faculties of faith is the hands of faith. He says, handle me and see. And this is what your soul will long for, to embrace a precious Jesus like Martha, Mary did rather, after the resurrection. She wanted to embrace the Saviour as soon as he made himself known to her. She wanted to hold him and not let him go. She's like the spouse in the Song of Solomon. I held him and would not let him go. Handle me, he says, and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Oh, it was a sacred time to those dear disciples. You know. He reveals himself to them as their Saviour, their Redeemer, their all and in all. For her he careth for you. And oh, poor soul, as you think of the future, the unknown way, the many things that may be before you, oh, may this be a word to sustain you. We hinted at that beautiful word this morning, didn't we, in Psalm 55, where the psalmist said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And you know, those he cares for, he sustains them. Let me just use one illustration on that. You think of the Apostle Paul. I often think of that, dear man, when he had that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Some of you may got a messenger of Satan buffeting you tonight. How could he bear it? There may be things that you're walking through. Lord, how can I bear them? I cannot myself. Well, he couldn't. He asked the Lord three times to remove it. But we don't read that the Lord took it away. He was better with it, as dear Mr. Harold Crowther said in this pulpit once, better with it than without it. It may be things that come weigh you down. You're better with them than without them. The flesh won't like it. Paul's didn't like it. But you know, he was to prove the wonderful sustaining grace of the Saviour. What did the Lord say to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And why did the Lord speak it to the dear apostle? Because he cared for him. He loved him with an everlasting love. So cared for him that he gave him grace that he might bear that thorn. And you know, any thorn, naturally speaking, inserted in us in any way is painful, isn't it? Oh, it is. And that was a thorn in the apostle's pathway that he had to endure. But underneath it all was that sustaining grace to enable him to go on, to continue, because the Lord cared for him. For he careth for you. And he so cared for the apostle. And may that be of help to some poor soul tonight. His sustaining grace he's given you has helped you on thus far. It's a proof he cares for you, poor soul. And because he so cares for his dear people, and I could look at it in other ways, he will bring them safely home to glory at last. Think of what he said to his dear disciples in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He'll receive you with loving care, you see. Oh, yes. And with every one of the Lord's dear children that he suffered, bled and died for, he will manifest that care in taking them safely home to glory, to join in the everlasting psalm and crown him Lord of all. Oh, may that be so with us each. Well, I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. May the Holy Spirit apply this text, whatever care you may have, small, maybe minute care, maybe some great care of the matters of eternity. Cast in all your care. It reaches from one extreme to the other. All your care, not somebody else's, your care upon him. Lay it upon him. Leave it with him. Cast it upon him, for he careth for you. What a wonderful seal it is, isn't it, poor soul, to this text. He careth for you. Well, may the Lord grant it. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little which abides in our poor hearts. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.